Thank you. And we'll now sing Christ Be Our Light. We're going to sing just verses 1-5. And I'm afraid my voice has gone for some reason, so Glenda is holding the fort here.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
The God who meets us here in worship this morning is the God who always welcomes us, who cares for us, who forgives us and loves us. Come with me and join with the heavens and all creation in praising and worshiping God as we sing together, Praise the Lord, you heavens, adore him. But it shows us a God who is loving, but a frustrated parent speaking to the community of God's people as a child who will not obey. As God's people gathered here this morning, let us listen to God's voice now, speaking directly to us, as God spoke to his people long ago, through his prophet Hosea.
What am I going to do with you? I have loved you even before you were born, but from your birth you have not done what I asked. I followed your first steps, and I cradled you in my arms when you fell, but you have ignored me. I fed you and hugged you, and you turned away, giving your love and affection to others. Think about what you have done.
And God's people said, O God, we have preferred our will to yours. You have called us to a different way of living, but our lives are self-centered and we do not change. You are leading us in paths of love, but we have grudges and grievances that we cling to. You are speaking, but we are not listening.
What am I going to do with you? I cannot just give you up. Even though you deserve to be punished, my heart will not let me do it. Even though you deserve that I should give up on you, I cannot. My love for you is so strong that I have already forgiven you. Just repent. Turn back to me and come home.
And the people said, "Oh God, we are listening now. Forgive us and transform our living in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen." And that's the great good news, isn't it? Our sins are forgiven and we can begin again. Thanks be to God. And let us continue to come to God with thankful hearts as we sing "Thanksgiving in My Heart." Father, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Do tell each other that good news. Last Sunday we finished with this big question. How does God want you to create balance in your life? And does that mean that God wants change? Wants you to rebalance the parts of your life in a new way? Or is God saying there is already balance there? Does God want you to stop doing some things to make time and energy to do more of something else? Does God want you to do something you have never done before, a new thing? Or does God want you to keep on doing pretty much what you are already doing? The real question behind these questions is this. When you reflect on how you use your gifts and your time and your talents, your opportunities, your love, your compassion, all your resources and possessions, right now, is the status quo, that means everything staying the same, the response that God wants to God's extravagant generosity? And if it isn't, what does God want from you? And I challenged each and every one of you to go away and together with God during the past week, seek the answer to those questions. I've been praying that that is what you have done. I reminded you that I'm not talking about just what you do in and for the church. It is much broader than that. It is about the whole of your life and how you balance the whole of your life in terms of what the balance that God wants for you. Last week, I invited you to write your first thoughts on that little hand symbol and offer that to God, and many of you did. But that was just the first step. And so I'm asking you, 1 week later, what is your response now? If you have more, a fuller response to God, there are more hands on the back table before you go today. If you are ready now, take another hand and add that to the board today. The hands are there, and you will have time before you go home. So, with all that in our minds, that's where we got to. Hear this story. Thanks, Andrew.
The reading today comes from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let me give you some context to this story. In Jesus' times, people believed that there was only so much of anything to go around. It was finite. So for anyone who was rich, who had more than their share, someone else must be going without. So while wealth was a sign of blessing from God, there were rules and expectations about how to use this blessing from God. And this is the rule: do not use it selfishly. Use it generously so that the whole community shares in the blessing. Back to Jesus' parable about this wealthy man who did not follow the rules. He hoarded all the blessings he had received from God. He kept them all for himself. All his thoughts are self-centered. He talks about my crops, my barns, my grain, my goods, my soul. He doesn't spare a thought for those who are in need a share of the world's riches. Instead, he keeps all his blessings. He keeps everything for himself. He's forgotten the most important thing. He's forgotten God. He is rich in his own sight. He is rich in his neighbour's sight. But he finds that ultimately being rich towards God is the only wealth that counts. And the only question that counts is this question: are you rich towards God. And he can't answer that question with yes. This parable asks us, you and me, all of us, the same question. How rich are you? How rich am I towards God? And what does that mean for you in your life? What does it mean for me in my life right now? It asks us this question. Do you use what God has blessed you with to bless others without any reward for yourself, unselfishly? Are you rich towards God? Are you rich towards God? This parable makes it crystal clear that possessions are neither good nor bad. That's his blessings, all his possessions, his huge crops, they're not the problem. It's the choices you make about how important the things that you have are to you, the blessings that have been given to you, how important they are to you. And it's about how you use them that determines how rich you are towards God. Is it that microphone that keeps crackling? I hope that's far enough away. For everybody's sake. So this parable says don't depend on your money or your property or your goods. Don't depend on yourself and what you can amass for yourself. To be rich towards God, to have the only wealth that ultimately counts, use what you have with extravagant generosity to bless others. And depend on God to show you how God wills and wants you to do that. And depend on God ultimately to be the one who cares for you as you care for others. That is what stewardship is. And there I've used that word for the first time this morning. In case you did not recall that this is a stewardship series. I want to tell you about a man that I know. His name's Don. He's a retired electrician and he's a church elder. He was a part of the Presbyterian Church that came to the Uniting Church, so he's a lifetime elder. And he's my hero. He was under my church at the time, checking the church wiring. And there were some homeless people sheltering there. And started a conversation with them. When he came back, he continued that conversation. And not very long later, he started to prepare and to offer a barbecue to the homeless people on a Saturday lunchtime. And he read chapter by chapter, one chapter per week, the cross and the switchblade to them. And they listened. Other people from the congregation became involved. And there was this little band of people who got to know about 30 homeless people. That's about how many gathered. There were not 30 under the church, but 30 gathered together. There was a man who did not have any address, who had been diagnosed with cancer, and the hospital said, we can't give you any cancer treatment because we don't have an address to send any notification to you to come into the oncology department. So we helped him to find an address. We gave him an address. and kept in touch with him. And if you think that is a terrible story, so do I. There was a woman who wanted to write her story. And Don got a word processor for her and set it up in the church. So when she came for lunch on Saturday, she used to sit down after that and write a bit of her story. Together with this small group, because what these people needed was homes, Don got involved in the whole system of public housing in the city where we lived. He advocated for those people when bureaucracy got in the way. Let me tell you just one story. There was one man who had this dog. He'd had it from like a tiny, tiny puppy. So George, for George, Squirt was his companion and friend. He couldn't be parted from Squirt. George was offered a home. He was offered a unit to live in. But the public housing said you can't have dogs there. And George had to was asked to make this decision between Squirt, who had protected him in his homeless state for so long, and having a roof over his head. So Don went and said, and advocated for him. The person in public housing said, no, the only dogs we can have are assistance dogs. So Don went to the doctor and said, would you call a dog that did this an assistance dog? The doctor said, yes. George and he said, this is George, would you please write a letter to the housing department to say that George has an assistance dog? And the doctor did. And George could keep Squirt. When people began to move into houses, and some of them did, they didn't have any furniture. They had no fridges, they had no electrical appliances whatsoever, they had no furniture. So, in our church, we got a shipping container and people donated all sorts of things. It became so well known that when somebody died, their family would come and say, we've got to have a look. And so we got a lot of donations for that. So when people got a home, Don and that little group of people were able to provide them with furniture, with everything they needed, so that they could live in the place that had been provided for them. Don's great dream was a drop-in centre, where all these people could drop somewhere, where they could have a sleep and have a shower and wash their clothes and etc. It never became reality, and I think that was Don's one great regret. He drove one man who was reunited with his family 700k to where his family lived and dropped him off. 5 years later, not one of those original 30 people were still on the streets. Some were in housing. Some were in rehab. And very sadly, some had died. The last I heard from Don was that he had donated, and he is not a rich man, $30,000 to purchase a van so that Orange Sky could set up operations to serve homeless people in his city. If he couldn't have a drop-in centre, he was going to provide them with something, some of those things. I tell you this very long story because if you don't hear it all, you don't get Don. He is a perfect example of a person responding with extravagant generosity to God's extravagant generosity to him. Don is rich towards God. And I want to say this very clearly. When Don went under to check the church, to check the wiring that day, he had no expectation that all this would unfold. I think he would have been terrified if he had found out, if he had known back then, if God had said to him then, this is really what I'm going to get you to do, Don. But Don didn't, and he followed what he believed God was saying to him, step by step by step. And he changed so many lives for the better. Every Sunday in our offertory prayer, we promise to be rich towards God. We say we will do that. And we keep that promise whenever we share our money, our gifts, our time, our love, our compassion, all the other things that God has blessed us with and that we have to offer with others for God's sake. You know, if we begin, that prayer is relating to our offering on Sunday and the direct debits that we make. But we're really making a bigger promise than that. The money that is our offerings we need to pay our congregation's expenses. Our congregation is also blessed with income from our property through the groups to which we rent our spaces, including the kindy. So we are a congregation who is financially blessed. And some of that money, together with our offering, some of the property money together with our offering, pays for all our property expenses and for other congregational expenses. Here are just a couple. Our contribution to Redress, which is a synod fund for financial compensation for survivors of historic abuse. So every congregation pays into that to the synod, and the synod has that money available to give to those who are survivors of abuse. Every congregation, including our congregation, in every presbytery in Queensland, gives to CPMP. It used to be called Mission and Service Fund, but we use it in a different way now. Each congregation gives as they are able. And then the presbytery ministers meet together to share the whole. Each presbytery is given back a share, is given what it needs to support a functioning presbytery, to support presbytery, ministry and mission within that presbytery. Poorer presbyteries get more than they contribute. Wealthier presbyteries give to those in need. Does that sound familiar? It's a bit like the first generation Christians who shared everything so that no one was in need. Like the little passage you read in Acts 2, 44 and 45, and this is by no means the only one, you can find a lot more if you look. This is what that says. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. And we, our congregation, is part of all that. We're part of that. And you are rich towards God when you give generously to special one-off offerings, like the Christmas bowl and the Lenten sacrifice that we just recently shared. This year, your Lenten sacrifice raised around $1,900 for the church in Kiribati. I'm not sure we've got the final figure yet. Coralie would be able to tell us, but it's around that. And if you're If you want to kind of check up on what I've said, look at this week's board to see what your offerings contribute to, so they don't pay it all those things in full. And you are rich towards God in a whole lot of ways outside this congregation when you use what God has blessed you with to give to someone in your life or a complete stranger totally selflessly. No reward to you, except to know that you have pleased God. And as well as asking how rich are you and I towards God, I have another question. How rich is our congregation towards God as a community of faith? And again, check out the board, because there's a list there of the ways that we contribute financially, not as individuals, but as a congregation, to the mission of the church. And then you can answer that question for yourself. And when you personally support that fundraising with extravagant generosity, serving in Refreshed, helping with Outburst, just to name two, and there are others, you are rich towards God. Sharing what you have, your time or money or talents in those cases, for the sake of others. Jesus told the parable of the barn builder because he wanted us, his disciples then and now, to understand something that we often find really difficult. As Christians, what we earn belongs to God. What we spend belongs to God. What we save belongs to God. What we give belongs to God. And God expects us to involve God in every single part of that whole story. From the earning to what happens to it when it's spent. And God expects us to use our possessions as well as our time and talents and opportunities and love and compassion with extravagant generosity, as Don does. When we don't, Jesus says we are foolish. And when we do, Jesus says we are rich towards God. Amen. I have to say the little round dots came late and some people were already seated when those were there. So if you don't have one, we just indicate, because we're going to use them now, and somebody, some kind person, is going to go and hand them out to those who don't have them. When you look at the board, you will see that those little, all those things are in flowers to represent that your offerings in all kinds of ways blossom here. And there's some gift boxes as a sign that we also give in ways that no one sees but God. So they're all wrapped up and they're out of sight. But that's part of our giving that makes us rich towards God. So the circles for now, let me give you a little bit of instruction. We'll take a bit of time. Use it to write down your answers to these questions. How rich am I towards God? How do I use what God has blessed me with to bless others. Take a moment to do it. The gift box is not to use today. It is to take home and return next Sunday, unless you want to return it today. You can if you want to do that. But this is what I'm encouraging you to do. Take time to reflect during the week. And then on the back of that sheet, that gift box sheet, write your stewardship response to God. What is your stewardship response to God? Because this is what we've been doing this whole last 3 weeks and next week. Later in the service, there will be time to pin the circles on board three, and then we're going to sing together as the offering is received, "Take My Life." Join me in bringing to God now with thankful hearts and open hands our offerings of money as a sign that all we are and all we have belongs to God. Loving and gracious God, you have given us all that we need, provisions to sustain us, family and friends to love, a purpose for living, and the gift of your very self leading us to eternal life. Your extravagant generosity overwhelms us, O God. Teach us your ways and lead us in your paths, that we too may live lives of extravagant generosity. Amen.
And good morning to people who may be listening to this service later on in the week. And on the 10th of May, on Friday, the men's lunch is at 12:15 at the One Table Cafe. That's the men's lunch at 12:15. If you can let Ewan know if you're going to be there, that's helpful for booking tables. Reflections is being delayed until the 12th of May, so the 8th of May is the due date for items for the May issue. 12th of May is Mother's Day, so they would like any short items and or photographs about mothers in your life. Mothers, grandmothers, mothers of your children, etc. It's open to anyone. We all have had mothers, been mothered by someone special. Those that don't have children, I'm sure, have mothered other people. Also, don't forget, we will be this year on Mother's Day as usual, have a display of photos of mothers, and in the church, don't forget to bring them along. Photos are always the stimulus for some great sharing and talking. I have been told that it's Liz's 93rd birthday today, so happy birthday to Liz. She's not here today, so that's We are thinking of you, Liz.
She's probably celebrating her birthday.
I'm sure she is. I hope so.
Yes.
And I'd just ask you to please remember our contributions to the women's refuges. It's another thing that we give. And non-perishable goods, toiletries, etc. are welcome.
The first part of this prayer has some lines from an Anzac Day prayer on the Assembly website, because that is still on our minds. Let us pray together. Lord God, who desires peace for all people, we pray that the qualities of courage, mateship, self-discipline, resourcefulness, loyalty, and good humour that was demonstrated by the Anzacs will continue to be an example and inspiration for us. We pray for those who engage in the slow and patient work of diplomacy, and those who continue to work for organisations giving medical aid and food relief in the very heart of death. Teach us to develop new ways of resolving conflict in our homes, schools, communities, and between nations. Lord, in the last few weeks we have heard of so much violence in this land, which has such a bounty of blessings and good opportunities. Help us to make and witness to peaceful, productive relationships. Help us to speak out against the inequalities where so much discord takes root and festers. Your Son demonstrated ways of living that revealed your loving, just spirit. Show us how you want us to live out Jesus' ways here in this suburb and in this church. Guide us to offer friendship to the lonely, inspiration to those frustrated with the smallness of their life, understanding and companionship to those stressed by the multitude of anxieties they are facing. Show us how to use our time and resources most effectively to give genuine assistance to those in need of shelter, safety, regular and productive work, or relief from incapacity and illness. Help us to make this property a place where your grace is evident to all who come, and help us to show the light of Christ in all that we do. Make us willing to serve our community and humble enough to be served by those we meet. Lord, please bless the preparations towards Outburst, that it might be a real burst of light and joy to all who participate, whether as artists, helpers, or visitors. May all that we do continue to be done in your name. We know we are in liminal time, that time between what has been and what is to come. We are unsure of the future. Give us confidence in your plans for us here. Remind us that you are still walking beside us all the way. We are excited to be starting on another journey. Give us patience with the process. Bless the person that you are preparing to join us, and help us to keep growing so we may be ready to move forward with them. Thank you for the encouragement we have received from many people during this time of preparation. We know that many old ways are not working very well for churches throughout this land. Help us to discern where good changes can be made that will encourage others to discover the blessing of a community of faith in you, that we have found such a blessing in our own lives. Bind us together, Lord, so that we have the courage to move forward into whatever you have in store for us, and continue to serve you with whatever capacity we can. These things we ask in the name of Jesus, your Son. And now we join in his prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We're going to sing together now. Thank we all our God. Will you stand and sing? Generous with others in sharing all that God has given you, that you may be rich towards God. May you find great joy in giving as you continue to grow in generosity. As you go, may God the Creator bless you. May God the Son bless you. May God the Holy Spirit bless you, now and for all eternity. Amen. Amen. And we're going to sing again, because this is a bit of a theme song, I think, for us. I'm building a people of power. God is building a people here who are powerful in generosity in every way.
For I'm building a people of power.
Yeah.